Welcome to Behind the Podium, a podcast series brought to you by Fusion Learning Partners that lets you hear what speakers are saying before or after the podium mic is turned on. Join me, your host, Jasper Appleton, to find out what makes these speakers tick and find out new insights on topics that matter to you on each episode of Behind the Podium. Welcome back to the Behind the Podium podcast. I'm your host, Jasper Appleton, and with me today is CEO and co-founder of Clockwork, Nancy Lyons. Nancy, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And a question we like to start off with here on Behind the Podium is, what drives you to public speaking and consulting, and how did you get your start?
Well, gosh, I was a theater major in college. I was sort of a theater nerd in my youth. And so performing has always been something that I've appreciated. And when I was younger, when people would ask me what I wanted to do when I grew up, I used to say I'd be on Saturday Night Live. I love making people laugh. And what I found was, starting a business, building a business, employing lots of folks, working with a wide variety of clients, I realized that I could marry the things that I love and share some of those business lessons in an inspiring but also kind of funny way. I sort of pride myself in being, a weirdo, a nerd, whatever, relatable. I also think that titles like CEO, they sort of project this, this sort of stoic way of being, and they project a flavor that isn't entirely true across all folks that possess that title. So I don't know. I like having fun. I like teaching. I like sharing. I like laughing and making other people laugh. I like being relatable. I also think representation matters. And I'm a queer, chubby woman, CEO, founder. And I think people need to see themselves, because certainly when I was growing up, I did not see myself represented in the executives that I had exposure to. And I think it matters.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say it definitely seems like you were born to do it. I mean, just from researching you, I think the thing that sticks out to me the most is your presence and the connection that you have within your audience. In your opinion, and I know you kind of talked a little bit about it with your theater background, but in your opinion, why do you feel you retain audience engagement as well as you do?
Well, first of all, I think, I appreciate that observation. I like people, I like them, so I think I come into it not feeling like I'm the person who knows the most in the room, but feeling like we're about to talk about, things that we've all, struggled with, thought about, can relate to. So we're just some humans sort of moving through some common life struggles in the workplace. So I think that's part of it. I really, really work hard to connect with audience. I like to look people in the eye and see what is really really resonating, and reading a room is one of my superpowers. And I really enjoy when people seem to be moved by, the content. And so, I also think, what I said earlier about representation, I think people, I don't present myself as this infallible executive. And in fact, I'm probably the total opposite, right? Like, I'm the antithesis of infallible executive. I screw up every day. And I think people need to hear that. And yet I found, I co-founded a company, and I learn new things about business and work every day, and I explore different conversations every day. And I want to share that. And I also want to get people excited about agency, right? I think that work sort of strips us of agency, and it's not an overt thing. It just sort of happens. And I want people to remember that it doesn't matter what their job title is, their position, the place that they work, none of that matters. They still have power. They have power in the context of whatever it is that they've chosen to spend their time doing. And they need to use that power to make the organization successful, to continue to sort of push themselves to learn new things. And so I like preaching about that, because people forget.
Yeah. And I'd like to focus a little bit about that, because I think you talk a lot about cultivating a work environment where everyone feels confident to provide their best self during work hours. And I'm curious, since the start of COVID, and I know that's kind of a long period, in your opinion, do you feel like it has become easier or more difficult to find that harmony in that workplace?
That's a great question. And the start of COVID, yes, very long time. It's a ridiculously long time at this point, isn't
it? Hasn't it felt like a snail's age? Yeah,
an eternity. I think it's harder now, more so than ever, because we're also dealing, you know, before it was sort of the traditional work environments and what they sort of, and the systems that exist that sort of force our beliefs, you know, in a certain direction. I think we were up against these systems that have trained us and made us believe, you know, how we fit and how we're supposed to show up and what's appropriate and what isn't. And that's what we were up against before. Now you sort of have to consider, you know, this other layer of people's just overarching dissatisfaction with the way things are and their exhaustion and sort of sudden awakening to the fact that these systems aren't working, but their emotional response to not having control around changing them. And I think that there's also, you know, humans like routine. There's a good faction of our culture that wants to snap back to the way things were, even though that may not have been working for everyone. Certainly capitalism plays a big role in what's happening right now. We have to make money. We have to make margin. We have to do it in spite of all of the obstacles. And now there's more than there ever were. So, you know, a lot of it is just the way things have always been suddenly doesn't feel like it's working. And yet nobody feels empowered to make some of the dramatic changes that are necessary. And I think, you know, what I try to tell people, and I think one big takeaway from a lot of the talks that I give is incremental change is still change. Small change is change, and we each have the power to make it. And sometimes it's just our attitude. Sometimes it's a process at work. Sometimes it's an efficiency that we've discovered that we can build in to save a lot of people time or save the organization money. It doesn't have to be big and dramatic. We don't have to blow up capitalism tomorrow to make ourselves feel better in our jobs today. And I think just those little reminders are necessary to get people believing in their own power and desiring to challenge themselves to do a little bit better every day.
Yeah. And I would love to kind of focus on how we can really get to that root of that power. And I think it comes with being vulnerable and being mm-hmm. really honest, especially in those spaces. Being a tech CEO, do you find it's more difficult with the people in your field, that it's a little bit more harder for them to be vulnerable and be kind of open with those challenging feelings? We can get to that, I think, what you call it, a work revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's unique to tech. I think that anybody who's invested any amount of time in their career has somewhere along the way been trained to believe that failure is not an option. And that, you know, I mean, we live in a perfection-based society. I'm not going to put it out there until it's done and perfect. And yet nothing about tech is ever done or perfect. I do think that getting people to recognize, and you know, you bring up vulnerability, and vulnerability is important in Brené Brown. And I always mention Brené because she is the goddess of all things. You know, has made a whole career about talking about things like vulnerability. And what I feel like is missing from that conversation, and this is no criticism of the goddess of all things, but is, yes, we have given ourselves permission to be vulnerable, but we have to also recognize that we have to receive the vulnerability of others without judgment. And receiving the vulnerability of others is an action word, right? What do we do then? What do we do with it? We support them. We encourage them. We work with them, even if their ideas or their thinking or their ways of working are the absolute opposite of ours. And that's something that in the workplace, we've never been encouraged to do. I think the workplace, you know, for a long time, it was really just about hiring more people like me. You know, it was really just about, it's why diversity is such an important conversation and such a late blooming conversation. And, you know, I just gave a talk last week in Michigan about, you know, building cultures of belonging. Like, we think about diversity in the same way we think about revenue. It's just a number we have to hit, right? But the truth is, we have to stop looking for, we have to stop looking for people that make us comfortable, and we have to start including people that challenge us. We have to start getting uncomfortable at work. We have to be open to other people's vulnerability without judgment. I think the thing that makes work cultures unhealthy is the judgment that we place on each other. And it totally is based on our own comfort. If you are making me comfortable, then you're doing all the things that, you know, that fit into my perception of how it's supposed to be. And that how it's supposed to be is the thing that's killing work and innovation and evolution and opportunity. Because how it's supposed to be is over. We should be thinking about what's next, not only for the product and the organization, but for the people. And it's hard to be the new guy, you know, in the office who might have an idea to test something or try something, not a foolproof idea, but just a try. And, you know, because humans like routine, pushing back on those ideas is the easiest response. It's harder to go, you know what, you're right. Let's try it. Let's see if that works for us. Let's push ourselves a little bit. It's an experiment. We might fail, but we can do it. And so, you know, one point that I make in almost every single one of my talks is that a healthy culture is one that is devoid of judgment. When we let go of judgment, when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, when we don't judge ourselves, when we open ourselves to the vulnerability of others, when we make spaces that are safe for idea generation and execution, when we allow people to experiment, when we open ourselves up to other people, absolutely, we are pushing ourselves toward the future of work.
Yeah, I think that all sounds really great to me in terms of a work environment. Because I think at the end of the day, every work environment is just a team. And if you can't get on the same page as a team and make everyone feel comfortable, you're not going to provide everyone's best effort. And mm-hmm. So you talk about a work revolution. And for the people who have heard that and were like, okay, those are some really great ideas. But if Nancy ruled all capitalism tomorrow, you know, she was the queen of capitalism, what would Nancy's workplace and work environment look like for all corporations? Or what do you think that it should be look like? Or what do you think it should look like?
Sure. I mean, there is no ideal work environment in my mind, because we confuse the environments with the perks, right? With the gimmicks, with the stuff that that people fall for, like free lunches and, you know, soda and flexible Fridays. And that's not actually what matters. All of those things are nice to haves. But I think what we have to have is this culture of mutual trust and understanding and acceptance. And unfortunately, you know, work reflects the polarization of the country. Except that we're passive aggressive at work, right? Out in the world, people, you know, they say their piece and they push back on the things they don't understand. You know, recently I was having a conversation with my dad about trans folks, and, you know, he doesn't get it and he doesn't like it. And I said, cool, don't be trans, don't transition. You're fine. You know, like, if you don't like it, that's your prerogative, but keep your trap shut, because humans deserve dignity and respect. And that, and I feel that way in the workplace. A couple of years ago, before the pandemic, I hosted a panel at Clockwork as part of our Minnesota Technology Diversity Pledge work. And the panel was about trans folks transitioning in the workplace. It was a number of people from different organizations, some of them very, very large, speaking about their experience transitioning at work.
Yeah.
And their experiences were awful. They were awful. And some of them were in, you know, a couple of them were from, you know, one or two of the most evolved, respected, wealthy organizations in this market. And I obviously won't name them, but it was shocking to hear what they went through. And now that's an extreme example. You know, I think trans folks have a set of challenges and barriers that are obvious, right? But the truth is, we create those barriers for everybody. Humans create those barriers for everybody. So it's about, I think, you know, the workplace of the future is about a set of values that are not marketing language. They're true. They're not aspirational. They're true. They're not static. We're working to achieve them. We're looking, you know, to add folks to the mix who have a high degree of emotional intelligence and recognize that how they show up will impact the success of the work. Mm-hmm. You know, that trusting aspect is important. You know, for Clockwork, our values are pretty straightforward. Our very first core value is we tell the truth and we keep our promises.
Yeah.
And everyone committing to being a reflection of those values is super important. And how we value each other, you know, has to change. I can't just value because you make me comfortable and you deliver in a way that makes sense to me. I have to value because you challenge me and maybe you push me to be better and you know how to argue with me. You know, when I think about, I often talk about how fear plays a role in the workplace. You know, we fear conflict. We fear feedback. We fear what other people will think of us. We fear, you know, doing the wrong thing. And I think when we feel safe enough to move forward in spite of those fears, to work together in spite of those fears, when we create psychological safety in the workplace, and we have these shared goals that we recognize we may not approach exactly the same way, but the end was the output is the thing that we share. When we can create environments that embody that, those sorts of realities, I think, you know, we are heading toward that future workplace.
Absolutely. And I think at the end there, like you said, it's that fear that I think everyone has when they go to any job. You know, I mean, whether you're serving or a marketing director, you have a boss, you have someone you're trying to impress, you have expectations you're trying to live up to. And if you can't feel at your personal level that you're safe enough to come to work just as who you are, to try and manage that fear of being good enough and managing expectations of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That so when you talked about that panel of people who transitioned through the work, I mean, those are things that I think everyday people don't realize and recognize, of struggles of people who just want to feel included and feel safe enough to go to work and try to mm-hmm. to handle that same amount of fear that everyone else is. And mm-hmm. if they feel more comfortable in a different outlook or however, who am I mm-hmm. to judge or make them feel any less safe? Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, that's their life. And I got to live my own life. And that's not that difficult. And at the end of the day, we just are humans of learned behavior. And if mm-hmm. if it's really easy to learn something, it's difficult to unlearn it, but it's easier to learn how to do it in a different way too. And so mm-hmm. you don't have to be stuck in that mindset of hate and oh, I don't get it, so I'm going to be rude and I'm going to lash out and I'm going to do all this and that. There's just no point to it. You can mm-hmm. learn to be a genuinely good human being and still be like, hey, I just don't get it. And that's fine.
Right. I've been sharing a quote from Paul Farmer, who was a physician and activist and researcher and professor. And he said, you know, this idea that some people matter more than others is the root of everything that's wrong with the world.
Wow.
And it shows up in work, but it shows up at work in a far more passive aggressive way. And mm-hmm. then we layer in hierarchy, which, you know, which sort of doubles down on all those, on the thinking around who matters. Mm-hmm. And it makes work really hard. It makes thriving at work really hard. And so I'm here to remind everybody that they have power, regardless of title, regardless of how you live your life or how you show up or what, you know, regardless of how you see your authentic self, you deserve to be it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Nancy Lyons, she will be our December 7th keynote speaker. Nancy, this is now your time. We're going to roll out the red carpet for you. If you got anything that you want to promote in your life, because it is exciting. And I think more people need to know about the things that you got going on. So take these next about 30 seconds just to explain what you got going on and where people can find you at.
I'm doing a commercial. You see this? Okay. I have a book. It's called Work Like a Boss. It's available wherever you get your favorite books. And you gave me the 30 seconds to plug the book, as far as I'm concerned. It's got all the tips and tricks you may not hear in the keynote, but it challenges people to think differently and recognize their power and confront their fears and treat people well in the process. And so I always want to plug that book. But I hope I see all of you, anybody listening, at the symposium, because I think it's going to be a raucous good time and I get to wake everybody up.
Oh yeah. Catch her December 7th, IT Symposium and Work Like a Boss. Nancy Lyons, thank you so much for joining me. And I hope I get to talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Podium, a podcast series brought to you by Fusion Learning Partners. Visit our website, fusionlp.org, for the full lineup of podcasts and for all the exciting events we have coming up.